You know what that means. You know what that music signifies. Something amazing is about to happen, and that thing is, of course, Joel Radio. Welcome in, everybody. Welcome to the show. Joel Radio, your host, Joel Fragomeni. I will be guiding you through the next 60 to 104 minutes of comedy. If you managed to get through last week's show, which was quite good, I thought. Very long, but hey. Lano came back. Balls needed to get busted. They certainly did. And boy, did they ever. All right, let's tell you what's going to happen today. I will run down UFC real briefly, what happened between me and Sabo. Although, if you've been following the show, you can probably figure that out. And also, I've got some email follow-ups on some previous shows. You know, we got some feedback, some... Actually, in this case, these were emails I got from people who we talked about on the show. Believe it or not, you know, we badmouth people, and people actually listen to the show. And the ones that don't want to punch me in the face or punch Corey in the face, when it was Corey and Joel Radio, sometimes they just send emails. So I'll read some emails from previous stuff we talked about, some follow-ups. And I think you'll enjoy those. But mainly what I want to get into today, and this is, you know, it's the fall TV season. Of course, we talked about Leno making his debut, and, you know, we bagged on it. I'll be honest with you, I have not seen Leno since then. Leno apparently is not doing well this first week, the week that we're in now. He's been losing, I think, the lowest rated show at 10 o'clock. But I haven't really been keeping up on it at all. I did see the electric car challenge, which was a complete... disgusting, horrible thing. Drew Barrymore drove an electric car around a track. Oh, holy shit, Jay. Way to innovate. You know, people want to leave. That's what they need in a prime time. But, you know, I think the people see enough cars driving around tracks in prime time. I think we need more of that. And, you know, Drew Barrymore can drive a car. I mean, why can't she drive a car? I'm not going to do the rest of the show in my Leno voice. Unless you email the show at email@coreyandjoelradio.com and you demand... my Leno impression. But anyway, what I want to really get into is the comedies. You know, I've watched some of the reality stuff. I saw Dancing with the Stars. It's an abomination. I'll probably pick that show apart next week or something. Coming up, anyway. But I want to talk about the comedies. You know, there's a lot of new comedies on, and there's comedies that are returning that have been good in the past that I'm a fan of. So I want to get into some of those shows. The Office came back, Curb Your Enthusiasm, amongst others. New shows on HBO, new shows on NBC. So I think we need to talk about all that. I will get into that this week. I'll tell you, I will rank the new shows from worst to best. Now, these, again, some of these are returning shows, so it's a little unfair to, you know, put the pilot of one show just as an example against, you know, a show like The Office, which is now in its fifth season. But we will get into all that here. In fact, why don't I need some help with this? Because, you know... I was going to do this solo, but, you know, it's always more fun to have somebody else help you out. So I'm going to, on the telephone, I will pull up. You know, I said, who's a fatter nerd who knows comedy? Who's a guy who has a sensibility not unlike mine? Who's a guy who doesn't mind espousing his opinions?
Hey, everybody.
There he is. Boy, we timed that perfect. You got to listen to that, man.
Yeah. I'm good.
No, we timed
I'm it. I'm good like that.
Yeah, you listen, man. I don't know. And believe me, we didn't set that up. We set it up a little bit. But anyway, this is Corey Hall, everybody. Say hi, Corey.
Shalom.
Yeah, Corey's here. I was going to do the show. So actually, I had a guest lined up for today. He flaked out on us, or on me. He had a history of flaking out on you and I, though.
Well, sure.
And not showing you.
Most everybody in the Michigan comedy industry had a history of flaking out on us.
Right, but anyway, so Corey decided...
You were... Chill would show up.
Chill's the guy, man. Chill's the man. The guy shows up on time. Yeah. I love Chill.
Where is Chill?
I don't know. I think he waits tables at Fridays or something.
Oh, that's sad.
Anyway.
He's the black guy in Tony and Tina's Wedding.
He is the black guy in Tony and Tina's Wedding. We shouldn't take that away.
Hard to miss Chill in that cast.
But anyway, you know, Corey and I were actually, he called me about something unrelated to what I was going to talk about today. But I kind of said, hey, I saw some of these new shows and I'm going to talk about it on the show. And he said, well, call me and we'll talk about it. So I've ranked here.
I'm fat. I like television. So there you go.
I know. I explained that in your intro. But, yeah, so Corey loves TV. Corey was actually a television columnist for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did movies and TV.
Yeah. So Corey knows TV. He's seen not all of these shows, but some of them. And Corey's even told me he's seen stuff probably worse than anything on my list, because I tried to watch the good shows or what people perceive to be the good shows, you know?
Yeah.
And you watched something that was complete drivel, but we'll get to that later. Corey watched something that was a piece of shit from the minute they wrote it. But so I've got six shows here. I described this, most of the Thursday night lineup on NBC, a couple of HBO shows, and then one that I liked returning. So let me give these to you from worst to first, although...
Yeah. NBC's got all their comedies on one night.
On Thursday night, yeah. They have one night of comedy. Well, it was like, well, I'm on every night of comedy, every night at 10 o'clock. Oh, now, how bad are... Do you have any quotes in front of you of what the ratings were for Leno? Because I intro'd it and said that...
Let me look up the... Yeah, I can get that.
You go ahead.
His show died a quick guess after a big opening.
Yeah, give me a Leno...
Did you see Pee Wee Herman on there?
I did not see Pee Wee Herman on there.
Oh, my God. Wow. Well, okay, according to Nikki Fink's Deadline Hollywood, which is a great blog with a lot of inside dish, Jay attracted 5.7 million viewers, but fell to 1.8.
Yeah, so he's below a 2 rating now.
Third position,
at NBC, yeah. So, yeah, that's not good. That's
It was third behind... See, the first week he was on, there were no new shows.
Yeah, there weren't original 10 o'clock shows. There weren't new original 10 o'clock shows, so...
Yeah.
Now he's up against the big guns.
The Mentalist is pounding Jay.
Of course it is.
Whatever those shows, CSI. How many CSIs are there?
Well, see, there's three CSIs. They added...
Now there's a new one, though.
No. Right? No, the new one is a new NCIS.
Oh, okay.
That is like NCIS LA with LL Cool J and Chris O'Donnell. Yeah, and Chris.
Why don't you throw LL Cool J on top of that too? NCIS LL Cool J. That's the. Have you seen the commercial for that?
I have. They're following around that chick from NCIS.
Chris O'Donnell and LL Cool J are walking down the street following Holly Perrette, who is apparently what guys in their 50s think is hot.
Yeah, she's kind of like the...
She's like a 40-year-old Harajuku girl.
She's
like bopping down the street like some kind of Hot Topic casualty.
Yeah, she looks... And she's apparently, what people think a hipster girl would look like in 2009.
I think that's what people who live in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, and are 50 years old and watch NCIS think that a hot punk rock chick is.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's a ridiculous commercial, but...
Yes.
On to the ridiculous lineup of television.
All right, well, let me get to my worst to first. Now, I'm actually going to say, of these six shows, I'm going to recommend, you know, like I said, it's going to be The Office, the How I Met Your Mother's in here, the Curb Your Enthusiasm I saw, all that stuff. But the number six show, are we waiting for the Leno ratings, or are you typing something else?
Oh, no.
I hear you typing.
5.7 million.
Okay, all right, here we go.
Oh, yeah.
So my number six show.
Which is down.
Okay, and I think these are the, you know, what would be perceived as maybe the top highest profile comedies, I would think, would be these six shows. Maybe 30 Rock as well, but that hasn't debuted yet for the season. But anyway, in my number six spot, and this one I actually don't recommend as being very good at all, was Community on NBC Thursday night. I was out after The Office. I did not think Community was very good at all based on the first episode.
Really? I thought it was... It didn't blow me out of the water.
No.
But I thought it had room to grow.
Well, it has room to get better because I thought the first one sucked. I mean, the premise is like, well, here's the thing to me. If you tell me community college, and I went to community college for a while, okay? And I understand that, like, it's a very funny thing. You've got, you know, kids right out of high school, you've got a bunch of burnouts, you've got older people that are there, you've got foreigners, and the show managed to incorporate all of those. but not even in a funny way. Like, it's, I think it's easy. It's, you can shoot fish in a barrel at a community college and make, you know, good comedy, I think. I don't think it's difficult.
Well, you know, I'm going to say some words I haven't said since about 1988.
Yeah.
I liked Chevy Chase.
No, you know what? You're right. Chevy Chase was the best thing in the show. But he was only in it for like 3 minutes. He was barely in it.
Chevy is playing like a baby boomer hipster, like a guy who's still dressing in like turtlenecks and blazers and like love necklaces and shit from the 60s.
Nah, Nehru jackets kind of guy. Yeah, you get that.
Yeah, Nehru jackets, right. Must have been hot shit back in the 70s, like yeah. He was, like Chevy Chase was. And I thought Chevy was funny. He was kind of sending up himself.
He did a couple physical things which were funny. Yeah, Chevy was good. But, you know, Chevy wasn't in it much. And, you know, Joel McHale, who was the guy from The Soup, which when you were on, we were talking about Leno, I said, I like The Soup. I like Joel McHale. He just didn't do anything. They didn't give him much to do. It was disappointing.
I think the show will grow on me, much like Parks and Recreation.
Yeah.
I thought was kind of terrible at first.
Well, yeah. I you know what? We'll get to Parks and Recreation. But Community, I thought, you know, yeah, it has potential to grow. Joel McHale is a guy who's trying to get his law. He was disbarred, and he's trying to get a legitimate degree so he can practice law again. And but most of the show was him trying to get laid with, like, this chick in his Spanish class. And
but the question is, why is he going to junior college?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. And the whole thing of him getting laid... Like, I'm all about guys getting laid, you know, I love stuff like that, like Risky Business or Fast Times or something, but I don't know, this just didn't work for me. The chick was cute, but the whole thing just, I don't know, it just kind of laid there. There was a lot of references to, like, John Hughes movies and even...
There was some Breakfast Club references.
Breakfast Club references. I think wasn't there even a reference to, like, Bill Murray, like, they were trying to make him out to be, like, a... Bill Murray-esque type guy, like, from Stripes.
That was actually my favorite line, is that the indiscriminate Indian or Pakistani or whatever the guy is. There's like a vaguely Arabic Indian sort of guy on there.
Who has Asperger syndrome. That's the hook on that.
Yes. He said that Joel McHale, he thought he was cool like Bill Murray in any of his movies, but really was like Michael Douglas in any of his movies.
Yeah, okay. But I also kind of got the vibe that that's where they were going for. This guy was the anti-authority figure who all the ladies were going to love. And you know what? It didn't work. I'm sorry.
I've even read that they were trying to do Bill Murray and Meatballs. Is what they were going for.
And it, you know,
we'll
what?
See. I'll give that another one. I'll give that another try.
I'm not
going to bail out.
I will also give it another try. However, that's the next try. That's the last try I'm going to give it because my DVR is about to explode. I got so much shit to watch, so I'm really booked. But Community on the Corey and Joel 5-finger scale, 2 fingers for me. Not recommended, but, you know, maybe the second
one. I'll give it a third finger.
Okay, Corey putting the third finger in Community. All right, there you go.
Yeah.
All right, now, number 5 show is a returning show. In fact, I think it's the oldest show of the 6 on my list here, but the number 5 show was HBO's Curb Your Enthusiasm returning. I have that as... What?
What? What? What's wrong with the show? What?
What's...
Look at the freaks.
Yeah. Curb Your Enthusiasm came back. Now, I will say, there is a qualitative jump from number 6 to number 5. In other words, this is going to get a whole nother finger on the 5-finger scale for me. And I am going to watch the. I'll tell you right now, I'm watching all of these Curb Your Enthusiasms if they kill me. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to, you know, not watch
this.
You're
going to make it through them.
Well, I've watched every single one to this point, and I'll tell you, there were some shows in the past that really, the show really took a dive from, like, say, the first 3 seasons, which I thought were great. Actually, I thought the first one was just okay, but I thought 2 and 3 were amazing. And from there, it kind of took a dip down, and then last year, it got a little better, I thought. And I was really looking forward to this one, and it was a little disappointing. You haven't seen it yet, have you?
I have not, and there are shows piling up. I don't have HBO, so I have to go over to my dad's house.
Right, okay.
The HBO stuff. But I've got that and Bored to Death ready to go.
Okay.
But I've not seen
Yeah, Curb Your Enthusiasm was pretty good. I mean, it was the typical shit that, you know, you get from Larry David. Somebody walks into the room, whether it be, you know, a television repairman or whoever, and he immediately starts fighting with the guy. And what I always kind of dislike about the show is, like, okay, Larry's an argumentative guy. He likes to argue with people. I don't get why the show has to have every single person fight back and be every bit of an asshole as he is. I think that gets old to me. I think it's a bit predictable. I would like to see him actually offend people. You know what I mean?
Well, because most people don't fight back.
Exactly. And I think it would be funnier for him to be, you know, when you're an asshole in a world of assholes, I don't think that's as funny as if you're an asshole and there's decent, kind people out there.
Here's an example.
Yeah.
Just the other day, my mom and I had lunch, and the waitress was just not listening to mom.
Yeah.
As she was ordering, and mom was asking her if it was the same kind of lettuce that was on a different salad, and okay. If she can exchange feta for blue cheese.
Okay.
Well, the waitress was immediately offended by this and just took it and started kind of yapping and babbling. And was like, "So you want the salmon?" And mom's like, "You're not fucking listening to me." And just yelled at the waitress.
Wow.
And the waitress kind of shriveled up and didn't know what to do.
And that's kind of what happens.
That's what happens.
Exactly. And so, let me give you the example in this one where he's fighting with the guy where he shed no business is there's a doctor. His wife, Vivica A. Fox, who he married at the end of last season, has cancer or some sort of... They don't know if she's sick or not, but so there's a doctor that comes to their house to visit her, and the doctor takes, like, a beverage. He takes, like, I forget what it was. If it was a lemonade or something. He takes it out of the fridge, and Larry gets all mad that the guy just goes in his fridge without asking him. And there's, like, a five-minute fight between him and the doctor. And it's, like, it's retarded. I mean, it doesn't make sense. I mean, I get when he's fighting with people that he might actually be fighting with, but it just to fight for the sake of fighting to me isn't that entertaining. But not to mention
that's something, you know, generally Larry will point out some nagging little thing that people are annoyed by that people
do. And you can relate to some of those things sometimes.
But generally if someone's in your home and they go in your fridge, do you lose your shit?
No.
You know, like if it's a guest is over at the house, you know what I mean?
Right.
Jeez. Most people do not lose their mind about that.
Yeah, so that was just one of the things where, like, that didn't need to be there. And, of course, you know, then it becomes a critical, I don't want to ruin it, but it becomes a critical thing at the end where the doctor has to come and treat the wife. But, you know, Larry, of course, hates the doctor because he took a lemonade out, and so there's a big dilemma there for him. And Catherine O'Hara did a nice turn. She is Funkhauser's sister.
Yeah.
Funkhauser's great.
Catherine O'Hara is pretty much solid gold.
And she was great in this. She was real funny. She was actually, the name of the episode is Funkhauser's Crazy Sister, so to give you a little tip off. But it was a nice turn by Catherine O'Hara. Although I will say Funkhauser himself, who's played by Super Dave Bob Einstein. You might just want to get the coffin and roll his bones in there now. I've never seen an older guy on television. Him and Larry together are like the Sunshine Boys. It's really kind of sad. Because, like, you know, Bob always had that gravelly voice anyway.
Larry talks like that, and then Bob's even worse.
I can do a Bob Einstein, I think. It's kind of high-pitched and gravelly at the same time. Like a Bob.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah. But Bob Einstein.
It's up here, but it's gravelly.
But Bob Einstein, but now it's not just grav. Now it's almost like a death rattle. You can hear the phlegm moving around in there.
Well, Bob Einstein was born in 1940.
Is he really? Did you look that up?
Which makes him 69 years old.
Yeah, and you know, he's wearing one of the worst rugs you'll ever see, and it's just all the wrong color, and it's just kind of distracting. And Bob Einstein's, a real funny guy. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love the guy. But Bob Einstein.
It's a shame that he never worked with his brother more. He's only in one scene in
Albert
Modern
Brooks.
Romance.
Oh, and in Albert Brooks. He's Albert Brooks' brother, if people don't understand the connection between the two,
They only worked together once in Modern Romance, although Albert Brooks is apparently 7 years younger.
Okay, and Bob Einstein did a lot of work with Steve Martin. I know he wrote with him and some of that stuff, so, you know, Bob Einstein's got
and
quite
the Smothers Brothers.
Okay,
he was
there
on
you
the Smothers.
Right. Yeah, so Bob Einstein's real
speaking
funny.
Speaking of the Smothers Brothers, not to get off of that, they're in The Informant.
Oh, okay.
The new Soderbergh movie. It's really funny that he has all these comedians in straight roles in the movie, like Patton Oswalt. Yeah. All these guys are just playing straight parts, and the Smothers, I think Dick is a judge.
Okay, Dickie's got the mustache, yeah.
Yeah, and Tommy is one of the guys, one of the execs at the ADM. So,
okay.
But that was Dickie
was in Casino playing a straight role.
Right.
Dickie played a congressman or something like that in that casino.
We could do the whole Smothers Brothers special.
All right, but enough of that. But Kerb was actually pretty funny. The story arc is that, he's trying to get back with, he runs into Cheryl, his ex-wife, And, you know, there was something, it somehow it comes up about the reason she didn't like Larry anymore is that he wasn't working. He was just hanging around the house all day. And she said it was much, our relationship was much better when you were doing Seinfeld. So that, I think, is going to set the wheels in motion that if he can get Seinfeld back together, he will actually get his wife back. And I think that's what he wants. So anyway, that's sort of the wheels in motion. And, of course, the cast of Seinfeld is going to return on Curb. So I'm going to give Curb, again, three fingers. I will be watching the rest of them. Not as good as classic Curb Your Enthusiasm, in my opinion, but it was okay. I enjoyed it. I mean, you know, it was good.
The formula is holding. It's not stale yet.
I mean, the formula is stale, but, you know, it's still funny. I'm not saying it's not. You know, to me, part of it is that it's like a little bit of kind of what The Simpsons kind of went through where, you know, everything just became like Homer was like a real dumb guy. And by like season 7 or 8, like Homer was a complete imbecile idiot. Like, you know what I mean?
Well, that's a problem that's inflicting another show that's on your list. But we'll get to it.
Okay, but yeah, but you know, I kind of feel like as shows go on that these characters are not true to themselves anymore. They just become, well, if this guy was a little bit dumb, you know, like Larry was a little bit annoying. Now we've made him completely annoying, and now we've got you know, like on The Simpsons, Homer was dumb, and then he became completely fucking dumb, and you know, so it was a ramping up of the characterizations. That I think ultimately makes shows not as good as they used to be. So, there you go. Curb.
Gotcha.
All right. Next show. We will go to, I believe, the show right on after Curb, my number 4 rated show, the new show called Bored to Death, starring Jason Schwartzman.
Uh-huh.
And I have to say, I was pleasantly, I kind of thought this was going to be a good show, and it turned out to be a very good show. Bored to Death was very funny. I mean, it's not a hilarious laugh-out-loud comedy like some of these other ones. It is more of a droll sort of, you know, serious, you know, dramedy almost, I would say.
Well, Jason Schwartzman plays the very deadpan character.
Yeah, it's a very deadpan movie. And he's in a lot of that Wes Anderson stuff, and if you like Wes Anderson stuff, you'll really like this show. I mean, it definitely has that feel to it. You know, I'm sure part of that is, you know, Jason Schwartzman's presence in this. He is a guy who his girlfriend dumps him, and so he's depressed, and as a lark, he puts up a Craigslist ad as a detective because he likes, like, Raymond Chandler's books. He's a writer, and he worships Raymond Chandler. So he sort of wants to get into this fantasy world of being a detective. So he puts a Craigslist ad up, and then he's shocked when people actually want him to go do detective work, and that's kind of the setup for it. And
this is kind of similar to the Andy Richter PI.
Okay.
Theme.
Yeah, I don't remember that show, but
he was mistaken for a PI, but he kept doing it.
Yeah.
He was like an accountant and his office was down the hall from the PI.
Oh, okay.
And people would walk into the wrong office. Do you
remember I think I'm getting it right. Was it Zero Effect with Ben Stiller?
Yes.
That's a funny movie where he's also sort of the accidental. He's an assistant to a detective. And I thought
that's
that
a
was
great movie.
That's a great movie. A lot of people don't realize how good of a movie that is. But
Bill Pullman.
Bill Pullman is the lead in that, and Ben Stiller is sort of his assistant. This is kind of before Ben Stiller was real big and stuff. And that's a real 90s. Good movie. And Bored to Death kind of reminded me of that. Zach Galifianakis is his buddy, and I think Zach's real good. And Zach's a guy, you know, he's a comic, and I didn't even care for like his comedy that much. I thought it was kind of, I don't know, it was a little uppity. And
it's very, well, his comedy is very, it's ironic.
Yeah.
There's a sort of certain level of hipster detachment. I kind of like some of his stuff.
But I'll tell you, as an actor, you know, he's in The Hangover, which is amazing. Like, he's great in The Hangover, and that movie's great. And he's real good in this movie, too, and this is a show, too. So, Zach Galifianakis is very funny. Ted Danson is in this as well.
Sure.
He is playing, I guess he's a newspaper editor from, I don't know.
Isn't he the boss of Jason Schwartzman?
Yeah, well, Jason Schwartzman also does a gossip column he's like a gossip reporter. It's like a sideline job. He's really a novelist, but he's taking this crappy job. And Ted Danson is his boss. And I can't tell if it's a Vanity Fair type place or if it's more of like a New York Daily News kind of thing. But that's kind of what they're going for. He's this editor. And he's got problems that he needs, you know, Jason Schwartzman to take care of. Jason Schwartzman's a guy that, you know, up to be honest with you, the one thing I don't really care for him is he's kind of this pretty boy. And he kind of walks around with his hair, you know, all perfect.
Well, that's kind of his shtick, yeah.
A permanent 5 o'clock shadow. He's one of those guys. And, yeah. Like, he did that really almost a parody of himself in Funny People. Where he was,
yeah,
like,
the problem is Jason Schwartzman is not an actor with a lot of range.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, in Funny People, he's this actor who can just kind of bang any chick he wants, and he's kind of a dick. And you get the feeling, yeah, maybe he was typecast. But Bored to Death was actually pretty good. Olivia Thirlby is his estranged girlfriend. You'll enjoy that, I know. I know you're a fan of Olivia Thirlby. You know, and they did sort of solve the detective story in the first one, I guess you could say. But it seems like these other episodes might have more than a one sort of episode arc. I think there's only six of these, too, as far as I can tell. I was on the HBO website.
That's the new. They're doing a very BBC style deal then, huh?
Yeah, only six episodes of this. So, but anyway, I would give Bored to Death. I guess I got to give it four fingers. I mean, it was clearly a finger better than Curb, I think.
Well, all right then.
So yeah, it's cool. It takes place in New York.
Who are the chicks in there?
Well, Olivia Thirlby is his ex, and she's going to come and go. And then there were two like guests. Like, a chick hires him to, find her missing sister in this episode.
Yeah.
And he kind of looks at it like it's a date or something. Like, he's trying to kind of bang the chick who's hired him. But, you know,
doesn't. Sure, well, that's part of the detective thing.
Well, but part of it, too, that's kind of ridiculous is, you know, Jason Schwartzman can't get laid. I guess that's where we're supposed to go with him on that one.
Well, it's very difficult.
Yeah, it's a complete work of fiction. But, yeah, he's from the Coppola family, and he's an actor, and he's a musician.
Well,
and he
but
can't
not
get
on the show. He's not a struggling writer.
He's a struggling writer who happens to have perfect hair and an amazing wardrobe and a great taste in music. But, anyhow.
There you go.
So I like Bored to Death. I'm going to keep watching it. It could take a downturn, but we'll see. I know Kristen Wiig is in this. She's going to be in a couple of the upcoming episodes. I looked it up on IMDb. They had the upcoming stars, but watch Bored to Death. I thought it was worth watching. Funny show. Half hour, good times. All right. Next show, my number three show of the top six comedies of the fall here.
Yes.
A returning show that could have went either way, I'll be honest with you. And I know Corey doesn't like this show, but I got to say, they came back in a very strong fashion. How I Met Your Mother on CBS was my number three show.
Yeah.
Of the week. Again, four fingers on the Corey and Joel scale. Just they came back and, you know, they did a lot of stuff right. Very funny. You know, last year, both chicks, Kobe Smulders and Allison Hannigan, were both pregnant and they had to hide their pregnancies for like the whole season pretty much. So it was kind of retarded. Like, it just didn't work. Like, they couldn't do much with the chicks on the show. So
they were behind the table the whole time.
Yeah, it was really ridiculous. It was shots of like, you know, like she was Allison Hannigan was like teaching, you know, she teaches kindergarten or something, and a lot of the show took place behind her desk. Yeah, it was kind of silly.
Yeah.
But the chicks came back, they looked hot, and you know, that was nice. Nice boobs. I guess the childbirth does good for your titties apparently.
Yeah.
Nice boobs on those broads. And it was a good show. There's not really, you know, it's the new story arc is that Ted Mosby, I forget the actor's name, but the guy who's not Jason Schwartzman.
The blandest guy in the world.
Yeah, I was sorry. Yes.
His name is Johnny Cardboard. That guy is the blandest guy ever.
Yeah, it's funny because that show, he's the one guy who doesn't get any accolades, seems to do no movies or anything. Has turned it into exactly nothing, and he's kind of the lead on the show.
Phil Tapioca.
Yeah, he's the lead. Like, he's the lead guy on the show. I mean, he really is the lead guy. He is like the Jack Tripper, or he is, you know, the David Schwimmer, you know, of the show.
Not since,
like the Friends.
Not since Anson Williams has a guy been that boring.
No, but I mean, he's the lead. I mean, he should be like the Richie Cunningham. Josh Radnor is the guy's name. And, you know, of course, he's the guy who meets the mother, and the mother, you know, so he's the guy who's narrating it to his kids. The narrator is, the narrator is, what's his name, Bob Saget, but you never see Bob Saget.
I think it's a shame that we don't actually see Bob Saget.
Yeah, you don't see Bob Saget, but you hear him every week as he's
what happened to Bob Saget's sitcom? That tanked, didn't it?
Yeah, I don't know. I never saw it, so I don't know. But Josh Radnor's on there, and the deal is, he was an architect, he quit actually being an active architect to take a teaching job, teaching architecture, And the shtick is that the mother, the mysterious mother of How I Met Your Mother, they've teased us that it was Kobe Smulders, you know, because she was his girlfriend when the show started. And then they teased us last year that it was going to be Sarah Chalk, who did like a guest run for the whole season.
Yeah.
But now it's not any of them. It's a girl that's in his architecture class. So they kept doing like pans of the classroom, and you were supposed to, I guess, pick out the chick that you thought would be his mother, but it's probably not going to be any of them.
I have a sensation this show is not carefully plotted.
Yeah, I think they probably had the idea that the mother was somebody else, and then they keep changing it. Because they did try to reveal the mother a couple times, and then they didn't. So that part of it maybe doesn't work, but I'll tell you, Neil Patrick Harris is on this, and I think that guy's real talented. I think he's real funny.
Did you see the Emmys?
I saw a little bit of the Emmys, and he was good on there from what I saw, so hey.
He was the Emmy. I actually watched the whole Emmy show.
Did you? Okay.
Because generally I can't get through that.
Okay.
I didn't watch the whole thing. I scanned some of it.
I watched Sunday Night Football because I'm a real man, but you go ahead. Keep going.
Well, I was flipping back and forth.
Giants Cowboys. Anyway.
I don't think I had any active players.
You had no fantasy players in that, so.
I don't think. Oh, no, I maybe had the Giants D.
Anyway. You had Patrick Crane. No, Patrick Crane.
I didn't start him. So
gotcha.
There you go.
Okay.
So there you go. Neil Patrick Harris was really good on the Emmys.
Yeah, but
you know what he was doing that was funny?
What's that?
He was doing. He would like read the worst thing on the IMDb of the person. It was like, you remember him as Lenny in Superman 4, The Quest for Peace.
Oh, okay.
John Cryer.
Oh, yeah, that's
funny. He would read like their shittiest credit.
I got you.
And you remember how Lifetime's Don't Touch My Squirrel. Here's, you know, Anna Torv.
Yeah.
And some odd-looking chicks on there. The chick from Fringe, she had her knockers right out.
What chick from Fringe? Courtney
Cox?
That
was good to see. Anna Torv. Oh, you don't watch Fringe.
Oh, Fringe. So, I thought you said Friends. No, I don't know Fringe.
No.
I don't know from Fringe.
There was your girl, Blake Lively.
Oh, Blake Lively's fucking hot. Holy shit.
With her cans hanging out.
Yeah, she puts her titties out. I think they're fake tits, too, but I don't care. They're real nice.
They were surgically stapled to this.
Yeah, she had this
dress.
Little dress. Yeah, it was two slits of material over her tits.
It was some magical harness or something. I don't know what. Some kind of elven craftsmanship.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Because it was holding those things up. Leighton Meester, meanwhile, had like two towels on her back. I don't know what was going on.
Yeah, those Gossip Girl chicks are hot, man. I should start watching that show, but I'm too busy with other stuff, so.
You got other stuff to do. Right,
and other stuff.
Next on your campus?
But that How I Met Your Mother was pretty good. Again, this is a show that could have been, you know, maybe on the long haul, I would say Bored to Death might be a better, higher quality show than How I Met Your Mother. But they came back, and it was funny, so I got to give How I Met Your Mother credit. It was a good show. All right.
Well, I'll tell you what. I don't watch How I Met Your Mother regularly. But I have a guilty pleasure of a sitcom on CBS.
Yeah.
The Big Bang Theory. Which
yeah, I don't get that at all.
See, I don't get the How I Met Your Mother. So there
But
you
How
go.
I Met Your Mother is, you know, it's really, you know, I mean, okay, here's the thing. The soundtrack of this show was Vampire Weekend. They're going for like a hipster kind of vibe, doing kind of a hipster Friends. There's a lot of, you know, pop culture references in it. It's a very cool show. I mean, it doesn't work as it's not truly. You know what I mean?
Well, that's the thing with Big Bang Theory. I thought it was going to be very lame, but it turns out it's about four super nerdy guys.
Yeah, I don't get that.
They're actually physicists.
But I don't.
And
I thought
this is ridiculous. But it turns out all the references they're making to sci-fi movies and comic books and stuff are accurate.
See, I don't,
as a nerd like me,
I think those guys are being too nerdy, and I think it's a parody of nerds. They're not being authentic, and the characters are not realistic, and I don't...
They're to nerds what Bill Jimenez was to Mexicans. I mean, they're... okay. My name, Jose Jimenez, Bill Dana.
Well,
anyway, going back... I like to make references from before I was born.
I hear you. No,
like,
I understand.
They're like the Speedy Gonzales of nerds.
It's yeah, I mean, it's just, it's a little too silly for me. I can't get into it. I don't know. I know it's
it does well. Kaylee Cuoco.
Yeah, Kaylee Cuoco, I don't know. She lost it for me. The chicks on How I Met Your Mother are much hotter.
I had to hear about the genius of How I Met Your Mother. Let me tell you, Big Bang Theory is a good show. It's funny in that the references that they make are completely accurate. And look, it's kind of sitcom-y, it's a little sticky. I think the lead guy who was on Roseanne, I can't think of his fucking name.
Yeah, you liked Roseanne. I don't even like Roseanne. You liked Roseanne.
He was Darlene's boyfriend on Roseanne. It's funny because Darlene's been on the show.
Okay.
But anyway, he's overplaying it a little bit, but I enjoy that. It's a good show. Kaley Cuoco.
Yeah.
8 Simple Rules. She's hot on the show. And she's running around in a lot of little tops and stuff.
Yeah,
and
she was,
you usually enjoy that stuff.
I'm not into that show. I'm sorry. I can't get into it.
I recommend that show. I would give that
thumbs
show.
Thumbs down.
3.5 fingers.
One finger. The middle one for that show. All right. Now, this is
how
my list,
you.
Dick. You had a podcast and you quit, you fucker. Let me go through my list.
How
here we go. My number two show. We're doing the top two shows.
No one likes How I Met Your Mother.
We're doing the top two shows. Top two shows. Number two show. We're down to really two NBC shows Thursday night, and my number two show of the week was The Office. The Office.
Aha.
The Office was the number two show, I thought, of the week, of all the comedies I saw. And you know what? Look, the same complaint you had about The Office, because we've talked about it off the air, that, again, it's kind of the same thing I think that happened, like I was explaining, where the characters get a little too exaggerated, was the Stanley is upset at Michael. Stanley's the black guy, and he's upset at Michael Scott, the boss, Steve Carell.
I hate Stanley.
Oh, do you?
I loathe him.
I can't.
I don't find anything funny about the character at all.
Stanley picked up a tire iron and started like smashing Michael's car, and it was just, what's the point of that? The thing about Stanley is that he's passive aggressive. He's just a guy who does nothing, and he's angry. You can tell he's angry, but he doesn't do much. He kind of just bats his eyes and kind of frowns, and it's real funny because. Because he puts, I think he's funny because it's like, you know, whatever people try to rile him up, he just kind of blows them off, and it's funny.
Yeah, I have grown disinterested in the Stanley character.
When they do shit like this, because they were trying to get into his whole marriage and stuff, and that didn't really work for me. There was no reason to do that. I didn't think so.
Well, here's the huge problem I had with this episode, and this is complete spoilers, by the way.
All right.
In this episode, Stanley is having an affair.
Okay.
Which Michael inadvertently overhears being discussed.
Well, it's alleged, and we assume that it's fake just because Michael's an idiot. And then it's revealed that it's true. That's to explain a little better.
I can't even remember. I think the interns were.
The interns, they had these summer interns that were leaving, and they said they spotted Stanley at a bar dancing with the woman who wasn't his wife. But then, you know, we think that Michael got it wrong, but then it turns out Michael actually did get it right. And so Michael made up lies about everybody else to try to disprove that his original theory was wrong. You got to see it. It was actually pretty good, I thought.
Well, yeah, but here's the problem. They actually have Michael do something smart.
Yeah.
Michael comes up with a clever way to get out of revealing that Stanley's having an affair by lying about everybody else.
Yes.
He's actually could make a coherent point from a managerial perspective. And then they just turned Michael right back into an idiot.
Yeah, he was a complete boob on this episode. But, you know, he sort of has been. You know, the Jim and Pam thing, there was some of that where she's pregnant. That's the big storyline for this season.
Yeah, that's going to bore me to tears.
Yeah, I know. I don't like that they turned it into a soap opera as well. But, you know, hey, women got to watch a show too. You know what I mean? As much as you and I enjoy good comedy, chicks want to see women get married and have babies. So there you go.
I guess.
Yeah.
Well, so the things that I liked in the episode, like the fake lies that they were telling about it, you know.
Yeah, he made up a lie.
Ridiculous things.
He made up a lie that Andy was gay. That's Ed Helms. And then
that was good.
And Ed Helms, Andy kept walking around thinking he might have really actually been gay because he thought the rumor might be true, which was very funny. I mean, you know.
Yeah. That stuff clicked, but some of the other stuff around it just didn't.
Yeah, some of it didn't work, but it was not a great episode of The Office, but it was still pretty good. I would have given The Office, many, many Office episodes, 5 fingers on the 5-finger scale. This one I can only give 4 to. It was marginally better than How I Met Your Mother, but pretty much on the same plane. So,
I would give it a 2.
Really? You were really negative on it.
Pretty bad episode of The Office.
Really negative. Oh, okay. All right. Well,
there's been some real awful ones. The infamous Shrewd Farms.
Yeah, there's been way worse episodes than this, I think. But again, this isn't the greatest episode ever. But I was happy to see it back.
But Stanley literally takes a tire iron and smashes up Michael Sebring.
Yeah.
And he's not fired instantly on the spot.
Yeah.
And sued.
No,
and
I agree.
On other episodes of The Office, people have done minor, lesser things and gotten in bigger trouble.
Sure.
So I cried foul on
that. No, I agree with you on those points. I think we just disagree about it. I thought the episode was, on balance, very entertaining and funny. Not the greatest episode ever, but maybe it was also just it was away for so long, and I was happy
that
to see it back.
That 10 seconds ruined the whole show for me.
Wow. All right. Well, Corey, you got your opinion. Okay. So that brings me to the number one show of the week. I watched six half-hour comedies, and to my surprise, I thought the funniest show of the week was Parks and Recreation on NBC Thursday night at 8:30.
Really a surprise because it struggled a little bit in its freshman season.
Yeah, I don't even think I saw all of the first season. I think it was only six episodes, right? And I saw...
Yeah.
I think I have a couple of them that I missed and I ended up downloading but still haven't watched. But, boy, man, that show really worked. I mean, especially towards the end, I thought it got a little... It got a little soap opera thing with... Rashida Jones and her ex-boyfriend, and like that wasn't there. Very interesting.
Yeah.
But the main plot about Leslie Knope, who is, what's her face? What's that actress's name?
Yes. Amy Poehler.
Amy Poehler.
What's that broad's name?
I've been going through a lot of shows here. I got broads all over my mind today. Here's the thing.
It's a new game called What's That Broad?
Who's that broad? There you go. Amy Poehler marries, she works in the Parks and Recreation Department, and she does a penguin marriage at the zoo. And it turns out the penguins are both males, so she becomes a hero to the gay community. And it was very funny, I thought. They did a good job with that. And
The best part was she went to a gay bar.
Yes.
And which was called... The Bulge,
yes.
Yes, and she was said she had several drinks named after her.
Yeah.
And... they were the greatest dancers she ever seen, and that stuff was really funny.
Yeah, there was a.
I thought that the woman that was opposed to her, the anti-gay marriage woman, was a little too overdrawn.
Yeah, they had this like strict, like conservative woman who was asking her to step down because she didn't believe the city government should endorse gay marriage.
She was really mean.
She wanted
it. Sometimes
she wanted an annulment of the penguin wedding, which is funny.
Yes.
Yeah. Because it's funny because
Parks and Recreation has a dark bottom to it, and sometimes they'll push the darkness really far.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. I think that's true. I enjoy
and that character, that nasty kind of conservative woman, was really pushing it.
But you know what? Some conservatives are that dumb, and if that really happened in real life, there would be conservative groups who would be opposed to a gay penguin marriage. They would not like that.
Of course, once again, though, Amy Poehler did not just say, "I didn't know that penguins were gay."
Yeah.
She did not know that the penguins were two boys when she married them.
Sure. She could have gotten out of it much easier than she did in real life. But in real life,
she made it a big fight.
Yeah, she made it a big fight. But, you know, it was a very good episode overall. I enjoyed Aziz Ansari's on there, always funny. The guy, I forget what the character, but the Nick Offerman guy, who's like, I guess he's the boss or something. I don't know what his job is.
Yeah. It seems like they work in a small-town government.
Yeah.
Although apparently the town's big enough to have a zoo.
Yeah, they're big enough to have a zoo, which is probably not true in real life. Pawnee,
I don't know how big this town...
Pawnee,
yeah,
Indiana.
How many towns outside of a major city have a zoo?
Zero.
Right?
I agree.
Anyway.
But he was very funny as kind of the boss guy, and... Aubrey,
he's good. He doesn't want to do anything.
Yeah, he's just like, he's this guy who just sits around collecting a check. He's very, you know, dry and funny. You know, I like Aubrey Plaza, who had her boyfriend who was bisexual, and he had a boyfriend, and they were all hanging out together, and that was pretty funny.
It was a funny little side bit, yeah.
Yeah, so I like the cast. I think they're doing a good job with that. What can I say? Parks and Recreation surprised me. Good show.
A pleasant surprise. All right. Well, we pretty much agree, although the appeal of How I Met Your Mother is a mystery to me. But, you know.
Now, was Community better than The Office in your mind?
Yes.
No! Oh, you mother, how can you say that?
Because it was a bad episode of The Office. It's not, obviously, Community is not better in the long term. I mean, we'll see. There's been one episode of Community. I thought it was pretty funny.
Yeah.
Well, it'll see where it develops.
Wow.
You didn't like the dean, who's a Daily Show correspondent. His name's eluding me right now.
He just didn't do it. I don't know. I think community college is like I said, I think it's an easy thing to get laughs from, and how they didn't do it, I don't really understand. It was just kind of Maybe there was too much plot.
I like the kid who was still wearing his high school Letterman jacket.
It was a black kid who was wearing his high school jacket. Like, it means
something. I thought that was funny.
But, you know, I wonder if there's just too much plot. Because he has there's a guidance counselor who Joel McHale had once gotten him out of a DUI. And so he owes him something, and there's sort of that. There's a backstory there, and maybe there was just too much plot. Maybe it just needs to be watching Joel McHale go back to college. Maybe it should be like a back to school kind of thing, like a Rodney thing.
I'm with you. There was too much setup, and sometimes pilot episodes have that. Where too much,
you know, too much backstory, not enough just letting it flow and letting the jokes come out. And you know, and there was stuff like, you know, they're at community college and they're all in like some big. They were at like a. Like a cafeteria kind of thing where everyone ate together, and that doesn't really happen at community college, but, you know.
Well, there's cafeteria.
You could have that. Yeah, I know, but it's not like, you know. It was just a lot of little. It just didn't work. I mean, I wanted to like it, and I couldn't. So community, I got to give a thumbs down to.
Oi. All right. Well, if they hadn't shown Stanley smashing up Michael's car, the office would have gotten probably a finger and a half better.
Really? But, boy. Corey's a...
I hated Stanley smashing up Michael's car.
Now, you say you watched something worse than anything on either of our lists.
I saw a show that might actually make television illegal in some parts of the country.
Yeah?
It was maybe the most hideously awful thing I've seen.
What was that?
In a long time. Well, on a whim, I think we were taping something else. I think Amy wanted to tape The Good Wife, which, good God, I don't want to watch.
Yeah, really.
Which is Juliana Margulies as the wife of a politician who cheats on her.
Okay.
But anyway, Amy thought that show looked good for some unknown fucking reason, because women think like that. Women. Anyway. So we taped it, and so I think it was coming on either before or after it, and so I just said, all right, I'll tape this accidentally on purpose and just see. Just as a whim,
and
you know, just to take a look. And this is a show with Jenna Elfman, who I did like when she was Dharma, but that was 10 years
ago. I thought she was hot as Dharma. I didn't like that show either, but...
There's some sitcoms I'm just willing to go, I'll just turn it on and go, okay, and turn my brain off.
And Dharma and Greg was one that you watched, like, as a fan?
Not regularly, but boy, you know, yeesh. If it was on syndicated, I'd turn it on.
All right.
For a couple minutes. But believe me, then there's According to Jim, which I'd rather, you know, take a spoon to my eyeball. Well, this show is very similar to According to Jim. They told me I had to pour bleach in my dick hole to make it stop. No. I might have done it. The show was so horrible. The premise is she's a film critic. So already I'm annoyed, it's knocked up, basically. It's knocked up on TV.
Right, yeah. She doesn't have a
one-night stand with this guy and then decides to keep the baby because we're in a science fiction program, too. It's a sci-fi comedy.
And she's got to keep this loser around, basically, is the idea.
Yeah, and his douchebag friends who play Xbox sit around on the couch.
Right,
It's a movie. It's a show about a 35-year-old woman and like a 22-year-old guy. That's apparently written by 70-year-olds because not a single moment of it feels real in any way, shape, or form. Although Ashley Jensen, the Scottish chick from Extras, is one of Elfman's friends.
Yeah,
and she's the closest thing to funny that's anywhere near this.
Right. Yeah. It looks terrible. I can't imagine that's going to work. But you know, it's in like it's on that, you know, Monday lineup, which is apparently a good lineup. So on CBS, the Monday comedy lineup.
But this is not. Good.
I mean, it's good as far as ratings. I mean, 2.5 Men, I wouldn't watch with, you know, a hot poker up my ass. But you know, I'm not watching.
Well, it's
that
actually
shit.
Better. It's actually
is it better.
Better
is it better with a hot poker up my ass? Okay.
All right, so there's your TV review. If we see any new shows,
I've got to review Dancing with the Stars. I spent the Dancing with the Stars was a 5-hour debut over 3 nights this week.
Oh my fuck!
Yeah, it was painful at times. So.
Well, see, that's the thing is that shows have not yet. The season is still kind of starting.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's still shows to come.
So, yeah, I watched that. I watched Survivor. I didn't watch. Amazing Race is coming this week, I think, right? This Sunday?
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's a lot to catch up on, but I'm just going to keep it to comedies today because, you know, I am a comedy expert, I think. I can.
There you go. Oh, speaking of comedy, I forgot we mentioned The Informant.
Yes.
You know who's in that film?
Who's in that?
Bob Zaney.
Oh, Bob Zaney's in The Informant. Okay, there you go.
I think Rick Overton as well.
Oh, really? So, okay, well, I need to see Rick. Guys, a friend of mine.
Guys Joel's worked with for $300.
Bob Zaney, I don't know, but Rick Overton I know kind of well, so, I mean.
Oh, you know, I thought you worked with Bob.
No, I don't know Bob Zaney at all, but Rick Overton. I think I might have met Bob Zaney at the castle once, but Rick Overton I actually worked with and hung out with and went to the mall with, went to the movies and stuff, so, yeah.
Yeah, there's like Alonzo Bowden.
Rick Overton is on The Office, actually. He's Pam's dad. Occasionally,
oh, that's right. On there.
He plays Pam's dad on The Office, which he's done nothing funny with. You know, they haven't done give him anything funny to do, but Rick's a funny guy.
That's what I know. They'll use Rick Overton and not make do him. Yeah, he's in a Capital One commercial.
Okay, he's a funny guy, so they should use him.
And also funny guy, but not so much in this movie. Matt Servito, former Corey Joel radio show guest.
Oh, there he is, and
he's in Big Fan. Which is actually a pretty good movie.
Okay, that's with Patton Oswalt. Yeah, he's Matt Servito is also the new Chef Boyardee guy. If you want to see, like, is he the chef? I don't know. I guess that's the deal. But do you see these commercials?
No, how do Italians feel about that?
It's in praise of Chef Boyardee, and well, you know, Chef Boyardee was a real guy.
Yeah,
there really was a Chef Boyardee.
Kind of hamming it up, like being the new. The new Step and Fetch It. I mean,
well, here's the thing. If you're going to cast Chef Boyardee, at least you're using a real Dago for it.
I'm okay.
You're not getting a Jew and calling him Italian or anything. You're using a real Italian guy, a real WOP.
And we know Servito. Counterfeit Dago.
Well, Servito's, you know, he's like me. He's Italian from the east side of Detroit. He grew up on my, you know, my mom's street over there. So, yeah.
Sure. Hickory Market. Yeah.
He was a Hickory Alcoy Street. Hickory Market. There you go. Matt Servito.
I heard the stories. Yeah, the pie that was amazing.
You've tuned that story out now three times. It's amazing.
It was amazing watching the Paizan Network just kind of come together.
Absolutely.
You guys were like, oh, hey, what about the cannolis? Hey, capisce. It's funny how Joel turns Italian in the presence of other Italians.
In the presence of another Italian, I get more Italian. That might be true. Well, black people do that. They get more black around blacks. Watch Oprah.
That is very true.
Watch Oprah. Yeah, Oprah has Gwyneth Paltrow in. And Gwyneth, it's nice
oh
to
my
see
God.
You.
Speaking of which, maybe I'll send you the link to post on your site.
What's that?
But there's a clip somebody put up today of an anchorman doing a reporter doing a story, and he's a black guy, and he's doing his, you know, very serious reporting. And then, like, some kind of insect, like a wasp or something, flies up to him. And he freaks out. He's like, what the f*** is this bullshit country ass motherfucker? Yeah. And it's a brilliant clip. I'll send that to
well,
you.
Well, there's,
so there you, go.
You know, there is the history of black anchors and news reporters just for. Now, you ever see the guy with the snakes? He's like a black anchor.
That's
man.
A great one.
Yeah, that guy. Yeah, he's oh, damn it. Who there? That be a snake there. Who there? You know.
This is similar, but he goes into, like, a whole 2-minute rant about the right. town that they're doing the story in. So anyway,
all right
then.
Well, stick with me for 2 seconds. I'm gonna give you. I got because we got an email that concerns you, and then we'll let you go. All right.
Uh-oh.
I got a couple emails, but we'll do the first one with you. We got an email from a guy that we go way back in time with, Ferg from Air Ferg wrote us an email.
Yeah.
Let me read this to everybody. He says, while performing the occasional Google of Air Ferg today, which you know. He says narcissistic. Yeah. I stumbled upon
That guy, come on. He's right. Burning out. He's melting Google servers right
all
now.
All right, here you go.
Checking his name.
But he stumbled upon episode 209. I think 209 is when we looked up old podcasts and we talked about the history of podcasting. And he says, first of all, he goes on about, he says, L.A. sucks. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I can apparently you were saying about how good L.A. was, and he hates it there. But then he says, I can honestly say that I enjoyed the commentary about the evolution of podcasting. It almost seems bizarre now that things were the way they were at the beginning. As for the comments about Air Ferg, I was a little disappointed. I was hoping to get some scathing sound clips to play on the next episode, but all I got was a couple of digs about producing bits and bumpers and playing instruments, which I get. So maybe we should call him an asshole now, and then he'll play the clip. All right, I'll do that. Hey, Ferg, why don't you go fuck yourself, you douchebag? My left nut's funnier than your Ferg.
Oh, you no talent fucking goon.
I know.
Let me, that's funny, Ferg.
Yes.
You, let me tell you something, Ferg. You wouldn't be funny if you ate Chris Farley and shat out his remains. It wouldn't be anything funny in your body, you no talent.
See, now we're being insincere about it, and I think he wants sincere clips about your Ferg. But he does go on to explain his show. He says,
No, but see, here's the problem with Ferg, and here's a clip for your show, Ferg. You fuckwit. Here's a clip for you. You're laboring under the delusion that we're going to listen to your program and analyze it word for word, because the whole point is our criticism of your show was you were doing a show that you thought people were interested in listening to begin with, yeah. Which we found to be a fallacy because you're lame and you're not funny.
All right, let me go, because he does own up to some things. He says, this is what he says. He says, I'm effectively the podcasting/radio equivalent of the stand-up comedian whose whole act is playing songs. He plays guitar and he does stand-up, but does neither of them particularly well yet somehow. But yet somehow by putting them together, he makes an act out of it. What's interesting is that I hate stand-up acts who do songs, and honestly, I don't think I would listen to my own show. However, as the goofy guitar comic shows us, there are some people out there who would. So Ferg does take shots at himself. He is effectively admitting in email, in writing, that he's not funny.
The sad thing is that we have found in our correspondence that Ferg is a fairly decent guy.
Yeah, he's not. He's not one to. He's one that caves under the pressure. He can't. You know, he would rather just let the criticism hit him rather than trying to avoid it. You know what I mean? He's
still about as funny as a pedophile at a children's hospital.
Well.
So, Ferg is a decent fellow.
Well, what? It is about humility. He does show signs of actually, you know, understanding what his show. He doesn't suffer the delusions that his show is wonderful or great in any way. So you got to give him some credit for that. So, Ferg, congratulations on sending us an email.
I give Ferg credit for timeliness because we did that. let's see. My last regular show was 223 or something.
Yeah.
209 must have been. So that must have been in May?
Three months plus 15 weeks of this show would put that, like 7 months ago. That would have been in like February or something that we did that. So, yeah, but anyway, hey, Ferg, keep doing what you're doing. Keep sucking and, you know. We'll keep not listening. How's that? There's a deal we'll make.
Your podcast. All right.
But that's Ferg, so thank you for that. And I'm going to get to the next one, but I'm going to let Corey go because...
And now you view Niels' favorite show, which is Auf Wiedersehen, Herr Fritzelsnack. So that's a hilarious comedy that's out there.
All right. But Corey, I want to thank you for being part of the show again and everything. So,
all right.
Anything to plug? What are you doing? What's good? What do you got? Anything?
I got a big interview with Michael Moore in next week's Metro Times.
Oh, that. Okay. Corey and Michael Moore together at last.
So, the chairs were crying out for mercy.
All right. He's still heavy, that Michael Moore, huh?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, maybe not as fat as he's ever been.
Sure.
But not a thin man.
Okay, all right. Guy. So Corey and Michael Moore next week on MetroTimes.com. And it's going to be in the paper and all that stuff.
Yeah.
All right, man.
I think it's going to be a pretty prominent piece.
You think cover or no?
I think it's going to be on the cover, yeah.
It's going to be on. It's going to be the feature thing on the cover, or it's just going to be mentioned?
Well, it'll be on the cover whether it's the cover feature is...
But isn't that an extra like $100 or something if you get the cover?
Yeah, it's good money.
All right, there you go. All right, Corey. Thanks a lot. Corey Hall. There you go.
All right.
Good
later.
Night. Later. There goes Corey. All right. Checking in with TV. No one loves TV more than him. So there's Corey. And this is another email I want to read. Again, we talk about people on the show, we badmouth them. And then some of them, you know, surface. They don't go away. So let me play. Do you guys remember this? This was not from all that many weeks ago on Joel Radio. I played this woman, this comedian, who's being sued by her mother-in-law. And she was interviewed by Al Roker. I think it was Al Roker that interviewed on the Today Show. And here's the clip, if you remember this. Sunda Kroonquist is her name.
Back at 8:10. Now,
here's Al. Listen to a little bit of this.
Jokes, maybe even told a couple. But apparently a New Jersey woman has heard enough. Now she's suing her daughter-in-law, professional comedian Sunda Kroonquist. Here's a sample of Sunda's punchlines.
See, because I have a Jewish mother-in-law. Maybe these lights are too bright. You can't see because of the highlights. I'm a black woman with a Jewish mother-in-law. Now, you know the only thing we have in common is that we don't want to get our hair wet. Hey! Now, I met Ruthie for the first time, and I walked in. I'm trying to be real polite, and I said, Ruthie, thank you so much for having me. She said, oh, pleasure's all mine. Have a seat. Elliot, put my pocketbook away.
Sunda Kroonquist is here with us. Sunda, good morning.
Good morning.
So, you've been married for 11 years. Your husband, you know your husband and his family for 15 years. You've been making these jokes about your mother-in-law and your in-laws all this time. Were you shocked when you found out about this lawsuit?
I was shocked. I was sickened. I was hoping it was a joke. How's that? I said, this must be a joke.
But it gets better. I mean, your husband is a lawyer. His firm is representing you against his mother.
It's terrible. Yes, yes, yes. Well, somebody has to pay for this.
Now, your husband and his family are Jewish.
Yes.
You're half black and half Swedish?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, which makes me Puerto Rican.
That's right. By association.
Anyway, so there's a little bit of Sunda's interview. Now, I think my original take, and I didn't go back and listen to the show when I talked about Sunda, but she was on the week Kennedy died, whatever that was, because I put the two of them up there. I had Ted Kennedy leering at Sunda, if you want to see that. Go to the joelradio.net, go to the front page, you'll scroll down and see that. But, you know, my main thing was like, look, no one should get sued for telling jokes. I get that. But I think Sunda could have avoided all this had she just, you know, apologized to her family and explained to them that these are jokes and there wouldn't be a lawsuit. But my feeling is that she sort of relishes in this and she loves the publicity and she gets on the Today Show and all this stuff. So anyway, I get an email from actually Sunda. She listened to the show. And I got this, and she says, now apparently she's terming this as guys because I guess she probably listened to some of the shows at Corey, but I did originally do the show solo, but she says, you guys are hilarious. I don't know if I'd bring you to a Passover Seder because you'd insult the living crap out of me, but somebody sent me your piece on the lawsuit to me, and I couldn't stop laughing. Yes, even at the bad things you said about me. Yeah, I said she was a nudnik and a pain in the ass. Always say what's on your mind. You have free speech. We should all do it as comics. But keep up the good work, and you guys keep it real no matter what. Just don't get sued. Best, Sunda Kroonquist. P.S. Sorry to burst your bubble, but the pocketbook piece is real. So apparently she's still claiming to that. So she is now insulting her stepmother on my show. But I don't want to get sued. I got no money. I'll cave right in. The mother-in-law will own the JoelRadio.net empire. There's nothing. It's a microphone and a goddamn mixing board. But son, that was nice for Sunda to send that. I thought that was cool. So she apparently liked what I said. And again, I don't back off from that. But yeah, you can't sue people over mother-in-law jokes. I mean, if you are the mother-in-law, mellow out. But there was a thing where apparently she had revealed where her sister-in-law worked. And, you know, she's had many opportunities to not, you know, to smooth things over without getting sued, and Sunda's kind of chosen not to. But I appreciate the email, Sunda. Maybe we'll see if Sunda will come on the show with us sometime and check. Because she seems to have a, you know, one thing about being funny and making fun of people, and I always say this about my comedy and stuff, is, like, I'll make fun of tons of people. I mean, hell, I insulted a bunch of guys on this show, you know, even today. But I can take criticism, too. You know, people can make fun of me, and I can take it. So I think you got to do that. I think it makes for a good comedian, someone that can not only give it out but can take it. Because I do a lot of these roasts, and I'm sure I've explained this in the past, but, you know, I've done roast jokes that were so mean that people want to fist fight me afterwards. And, you know, ultimately it's not worth getting in a fist fight to tell a joke, so I've kind of stopped doing those. But, you know, I just think that you got to keep a sense of humor about yourself. And Sunda, with that email, it shows that you're doing that. You're a fan of mine. And I think I am now becoming a fan of yours. And so, Sunda, thank you very much for the email. That was nice of you. So there you go. A little feedback. People we bash. I bash people. They send back a nice email. Wow. If only the world really worked that way. But anyway, let's wrap it up for today. I want to thank Corey once again for joining me. He filled in last second on the phone. I appreciate that. I do recommend Bored to Death, How I Met Your Mother, The Office, Parks and Recreation, Curb Your Enthusiasm. I'm hoping is going to go the right way, but maybe not. Community, you've got one more show to go before I kick you to the curb completely because you suck. What else can I tell you about? I like I said, I did see a lot of the reality shows. I'm going to probably start reviewing those next week. If you have any comments on anything and you want to send them to me, feel free, email at coreyandjoelradio.com. If it's cool, I'll read it on the air. You can also leave voice comments. You can call the douchebag hotline at 610-552-0746 and leave me a voicemail, and I will play your voicemail on the show. So, you know, there's lots of ways to communicate. I'm glad you listened to this one. Joel Radio is in the can. We're going to go right now and watch more of these comedies, watch more of these reality shows, make fun of, find new people to make fun of, and we'll do it all again next week. Thank you very much for listening, ladies, gentlemen, and in between. Catch you next time on Joel Radio. Good night.